America's tough-talking, no-nonsense judge who isn't afraid to give criminals a piece of his mind. He's Judge Peter. Welcome to another episode of White Collar Necktie Party with Judge Peter Dorsey. Let's see who today's defendant is.
Your Honor, today's defendant was the governor of Connecticut for 10 years, during which time he converted his office into a criminal enterprise. He took bribes, handed out money to his cronies, and tried to cover it up. He admits he was part of a long-running criminal conspiracy, and even after he was caught, he continued to lie and make shady deals for himself.
John, are you sorry you were so corrupt?
Well, kind of. It's just that...
Spit it out, son.
I don't know. This court is really dumb, and you look stupid in that black thing.
Look, you're one very confused and troubled governor, aren't you? Look, you leave me no choice. I don't like to do this, but I sentence you to 1 year of taking 5-mile walks in the woods every single day.
What is this, Nazi Germany?
I'm not through, tough guy. You are also sentenced to eat every single day for a year a big fruit plate with at least 5 different kinds of fresh fruit.
I won't do it. Not if there's pineapple. I hate pineapple. Is this even still America?
It's full of manganese.
I hate you.
I can't believe what I'm hearing. Your Honor, this man was the kingpin in a huge cynical web of payoffs and bribes that has infected almost every corner of the state of government. He steered tens of millions of dollars in taxpayer money to the people who were bribing him. And you're talking about hiking and fruit?
Look, I have to take into account his vast public service.
Public service? Your Honor, public service is what he said he was doing while he was on the take. It's a privilege to be governor, and he showed his gratitude by committing crimes. That's like giving Lee Harvey Oswald time off for great marksmanship.
Oh, can't you see you're upsetting John?
Your Honor, can I go? I left the Mustang in a handicapped spot.
You can go, son. But no skimping on the pineapple. Remember, Judge Peter is always watching.
Tune in tomorrow when Judge Peter tells it like it is to war criminal Slobodan Milosevic.
2 years of hot room yoga, 4 times a week. And listen up, big boy. No more genocide. I mean that.
You are tough, but fair.
That's all for now. From all of us at White Collar Necktie Party, stay off the naughty list.
Or they have to slap your wrist.
Well, that was pretty good acting by some of the people there. I guess we're not even allowed to say who plays Prosecutor Denny, or are we?
We aren't?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I don't know.
We can't. So she's a mystery woman. And then, Mikey C. made his debut as Governor Rowland. I thought he was excellent.
He was.
He did a really good job.
He has some of the characteristics you'd need to play that.
Well, it takes a Waterbury boy to play a Waterbury boy.
Yep.
And then it takes kind of a, you know, degenerate to play a degenerate and so on. And then Bill Heald played Judge Dorsey.
Yes, he did. He did an excellent job.
I thought your acting as the announcer was very good.
Oh, yeah, right.
Thank you.
And the who was that on the...
I was Slobodan Milosevic. I had two lines, but I didn't think my acting was really all that good. But I'm moving more into directing anyway. I really don't want to act that much.
I think in this case, your directing was excellent.
I want to direct.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's... on a more serious note, maybe one thing we can say, we do have time to take some phone calls on this right now. We will have some guests on about it later. And obviously, the trail is a little bit cold at this point, but... you know, I do think the month of, you know, house arrest or something, that would be about it. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody really knows exactly what influenced Peter Dorsey.
Here is Craig in a car. Craig, hello.
Hey, what's happening? Look here, man. The judge needs to be looked into. They need to investigate him because 9.5 years of this... Oh, by the way, that was a great spot, man. You guys ought to play it every day. Every day. But anyway, you know, come on, man. That's a slap in the face to the people of Connecticut. Let this clown get away with that. Because really, what they're saying is, you can do these things if you are politically connected. You're only going to get 10 months and a couple of years probation and whatever, whatever. But mm-hmm. I just want to say that the judge, someone should look into his past and see what he has in his closet, because that's a slap in the face to the people of Connecticut. And if some of my tax dollars you know, is paying this particular judge, then he should be fired for that. And I'm out.
All right, you're out. All right, thanks, Greg. Well, I mean, look, I don't think Peter Dorsey has anything in his past. I mean, he has a, but he has kind of a pattern of this kind of thing, and in that he does seem to extend some leniency to white-collar criminals. He said that he was influenced, first of all, by the impact that this was going to have on Roland's kids and stuff like that, and then he was also influenced by Roland's record of public service, which I think the latter thing is kind of a bizarre statement. I mean, this is a guy, I mean, what do you say, you're influenced by his noble accumulation of power. I mean, basically what this guy did, he's a career politician, and he didn't do that necessarily because he wanted to serve mankind. I mean, and not only that, but I mean, as the prosecutor pointed out in the little thing that we just ran, his crimes were committed in the course of performing his public service. That's what ultimately was tainted, was his public service. So it's kind of insane. It's like, you know, it's like giving Lizzie Grubman extra reduction in her sentence because of all the driving she has to do or something. It doesn't make any sense. Jim Calhoun for Valium. And see, I think Roloff could get one of these antidepressant commercials. You know, sure gets a little depressing watching your career crash down around your ears. And that's why this little pill, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Chester, I think for Diane Starr Chester, that's where he's going to go next. After the Purina One thing runs out, after the Purina One money runs out, doggy Zoloft. Because he's got a lot of personal demons anyway, Chester. I don't know.
Do
dogs have personal demons, or do they have canine demons?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Tactically, I don't know what the answer to that is. But anyway, that's where I would see Chester going next anyway, would be doing commercials for some kind of psychoactive medication.
Uh-huh. Of course.
Otherwise, if he's not on something within the next 3 months, I guarantee you he's heading for River Phoenix country. You know, I'll have to find him dead behind the Viper Lounge. Anyway, we've got calls here.
Hello, this is Governor John Roland. Are you victimizing your business with a trunk slammer? I need to find a trunk slammer to slam a trunk on Vinnie DeRocher's head. No, I'm just kidding. This isn't really John Roland.
But are you victimizing your business with a trunk slammer? I never know how I did that to him before, but it turns out that it's a friend or relative you hired to do your computer network support. He works out of his trunk. Some jerkwad who knows something about computers, he shows up on a weekend, he's got a full-time job someplace.
$581,000, that's what it will cost the Connecticut Lottery because of a Friday night snafu in the Cash 5 drawing. Lottery officials are honoring a sixth number. When the drawing began, the cameras were not on, and after the number 7 was drawn, it was returned to the mixing chamber, and the drawing started anew with 5 numbers drawn. As a result, there are 3,451 additional winning tickets, 5 of them worth $100,000. Thousands of angry people line up outside the New York Daily News building today.
We want our money! Okay, we want our money now!
On Saturday, the paper's scratch and match game had a printing error that led many to believe that they had won up to $100,000 in cash and prizes. The news is blaming D.R. Blair, the company contracted to run the contest, and say that they should file their complaints with Blair.
Taylor Coppenrath were any bigger and slower and stupider, John Ashcroft would have raped them. It's time for Sport à Trois, the very French sports discussion segment of Mr. Ambrosio, Mr.
He's not stupid.
Evans and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
He's big and slow.
Draped him.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Mr. Ambrosio.
Oh, really? Well, let's get to it.
That's good. When we sit out on the balcony, sometimes we're...
Who sent this?
This is by Arlene and Dave.
Oh, a couple.
No last name, and they live in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
That's where I live in it, sick.
When we sit on the balcony, sometimes we're...
Did you shoot me?
We're sometimes bothered by flies, but when the wind picks up, the flies go away. It seems there's a wind speed at which flies are unhappy. How fast does the wind have to be going for the flies to go away, and where do they go when they go away because the wind blows?
Well, not that flies are a problem in Chattanooga, which I understand is one of the cleaner cities in the continental United States, but flies are actually affected by lower wind speeds. Any wind speed under 6 miles an hour and the flies can't keep their balance and tend to get knocked into one another. They tend to suffer more fatalities in that time period. It's unlike an airplane going through wind shear. The higher the wind, when the plane's going through there, the tougher time it has taken off. With a fly, anything, any breeze under 6 miles an hour will cause most flies to just dive bomb into the ground.
So that's the problem when the wind's calm.
Wind's calm, the fly is, yeah. And where they go is they basically go normally into plants, vegetables, and rivers.
America's tough-talking, no-nonsense judge who isn't afraid to give criminals a piece of his mind. He's Judge Peter. Welcome to another episode of White Collar Necktie Party with Judge Peter Dorsey. Let's see who today's defendant is.
Your Honor, today's defendant was the governor of Connecticut for 10 years, during which time he converted his office into a criminal enterprise. He took bribes, handed out money to his cronies, and tried to cover it up. He admits he was part of a long-running criminal conspiracy. And even after he was caught, he continued to lie and make shady deals for himself.
John, are you sorry you were so corrupt?
Well, kind of. It's just that...
Spit it out, son.
I don't know. This court is really dumb, and you look stupid in that black thing.
Look, you're one very confused and troubled governor, aren't you? Look, you leave me no choice. I don't like to do this, but I sentence you to 1 year of taking 5-mile walks in the woods every single day.
What is this, Nazi Germany?
I'm not through, tough guy. You are also sentenced to eat every single day for a year a big fruit plate with at least 5 different kinds of fresh fruit.
I won't do it. Not if there's pineapple. I hate pineapple. Is this even still America?
It's full of manganese.
I hate you.
I can't believe what I'm hearing. Your Honor, this man was the kingpin in a huge cynical web of payoffs and bribes that has infected almost every corner of the state of government. He steered tens of millions of dollars in taxpayer money to the people who were bribing him. And you're talking about hiking and fruit?
Look, I have to take into account his vast public service.
Public service? Your Honor, public service is what he said he was doing while he was on the take. It's a privilege to be governor, and he showed his gratitude by committing crimes. That's like giving Lee Harvey Oswald time off for great marksmanship.
Can't you see you're upsetting John?
Your Honor, can I go? I left the Mustang in a handicap spot.
You can go, son. But no skimping on the pineapple. Remember, Judge Peter is always watching.
Tune in tomorrow when Judge Peter tells it like it is to war criminal Slobodan Milosevic.
2 years of hot room yoga, 4 times a week. And listen up, big boy. No more genocide. I mean that.
You are tough, but fair.
That's all for now. From all of us at White Collar Necktie Party, stay off the naughty list.
Or they have to slap your wrist.
It's hard for me to say I'm sorry. I just want you to know.
Okay, bye. It'll be our next scandal. All right, let's go to Locutus.
Scandal of the day.
Let's go to Locutus. Are you going to watch 24 tonight?
24?
Yeah.
I don't watch that show.
You don't watch the 24?
No.
Well, you're a bad American. Why do you hate freedom?
Hate freedom?
I don't. Why do you... what? Are these questions too hard for you? Why do you hate freedom?
Anyway, Colin, let me ask you. On the news?
Yeah.
There was a piece about how this state, that someone's proposing the so-called clean car business.
Yeah.
Some tax incentives.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why it won't work.
Why won't it work?
It won't work, number one, because contrary to mythology, the tailpipe emissions of most cars amount basically to nothing, and that includes the largest SUVs and trucks.
All right.
And the certification, what the engines are actually certified to in terms of the emission standards, is the same in many cases as small cars. There's a couple of SUVs that are certified to a California emission standard that hasn't even officially gone into effect yet.
Where are you getting
this information? They're already certified to that standard.
Where are you getting this? Does this information come like right into your fillings? Or,
but anyway, one other thing. The thing is that on small cars like a Ford Focus or a Honda Civic, dealers have very little profit margin and they can give very little discount off. But on a more expensive vehicle, you can whack thousands of dollars off. And that $600 thing you're allowed that you're talking about, that will...
I'm not following any of this conversation.
You could take on a $35,000, say, fully loaded Ford Explorer, you could knock $4,000 off the price of that, and the dealer would still make more money than they would ever make on each...
Why are you getting yourself all worked up about this? I thought you were calling up to help with the Turtle movie.
I don't care about the Turtle. I'm just telling you, it's a crock and it won't work, and it's a con job.
Well, I hadn't gotten heavily invested in it, but now you make me want to find out more about it so they can prove that you're wrong. Because you're wrong. You're so wrong. I can't believe how wrong you are. You know how wrong you are? You're like just totally wrong, man. All right, then. Glad you see it my way. Let's thank our producer, Mr. Bobby Sherwood.